The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do you know that feeling? You were driving down the road, not another car in sight, and the clouds were hanging, painted in the sky, and just in the moment you let yourself think, "My, this really is a lovely afternoon," and you glide around that next curve, you take that extra second to check your mirror, and that's when you see it. Just peeking over the top of the hill behind you are the unmistakable flashing headlights, alternating right and left. And right above those headlights, you can see the red and blue flashing lights. And that's when you feel that feeling. Maybe it's a little flutter or a drop in the pit of your stomach. Maybe, no matter how high you have the air conditioning cranked up, you sweat that one little drop of sweat, and it just might be accompanied by a short speech, something to the effect of, "Doggone it," or "Oh, shoot." So when the psalm this morning talks about taking delight in the law, this is a very different picture from that feeling when you know you've been caught, especially when we all know we can get there just a little faster if we're going five over. In truth, it's too easy for us to learn to live with that picture of God as the lawman who's out to get us, God as the one who's just waiting for us to screw up. And we can walk around in our day-to-day life trying to avoid doing anything that might result in us hearing that divine gotcha if we're not careful. The psalm speaks of meditating on the law, but this can all too easily turn into worry and fear when God's law becomes something that we are constantly afraid of. We can hear it on the radio or watch it on TV, or maybe we drive past a church sign telling us that we could be headed to hell if we aren't careful. All of those ways that people use God as an instrument of fear. And where is delight in all of this? Where is joy or peace or prosperity or blessing? And perhaps that's the big question. How is it that we, the sinners, are supposed to delight in the law of the Lord? The writer of the psalm knows that we are not going to always be following in the path the Lord has set for us. It is a reality of the life in Christ that sometimes we are not always going to be able to walk the righteous path. Or more fully than that, we, the sinners, are never going to be able to keep the law of the Lord without divine intervention. The NRSV translation this morning changed the sense of the language when they translated this passage into English. Both newer and older Bible translations better preserve the text when they use the phrase, "Blessed is the man," instead of "Happy are those." The original Hebrew here really does refer to a singular man, not a broader sense of everyone or they. And part of what understanding this original sense of the language does for us is that it shifts our focus away from trying to use the psalm to measure our devotion as if this were simply an instruction. It helps us to understand that if this psalm is a measuring stick, we may not be the ones who are being measured. Instead, it calls us to seek out the one who is truly blessed by the Father, because we know that our lives are not defined by meditating on the law day and night. We have work and school and children and sports and family and chores and bills to pay and errands to run. And with all these different things that pull us every which way in our lives, it turns out that we are not going to be the ones who will be able to meditate on God's law day and night. God's law is totally different from any law that comes from man. Certainly, the law has the function, the ability, to point out to us the things that we are doing that we are not meant to do. The law is going to provide structure and order, and the time will come again and again where our sin will be made all too clear when we are confronted by the law. And if you're still wondering how it can be that this is the point where we are meant to be delighting in the law of the Lord, there is a promise. That delight is coming. When God gave us the law, He gave it to us with a promise of prosperity in Him. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Tim talked about how there were 613 laws created by ancient Israel to protect the law, the Ten Commandments, to try to make sure that it was being followed. But that intricate system lost sight of the promise that accompanied the law. And we heard part of that promise in the portion of Deuteronomy that comes right in front of our first lesson about how the Lord is desiring to bring us back to Him even when we have strayed. And this is pointing us to the promise that we lose sight of when the law becomes used as a tool to strike fear in the hearts of those who desire to follow the Lord. It all starts in the first commandment. God says to us, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The psalmist knows that there are other little gods, little idols in our lives that try to tell us what to do, taking our focus away from the Lord. But God is promising something to us. He is promising that He will be our God no matter what other things try to pull us away from Him. His law is a promise that when we hear the command not to kill, there will be a time when we will be beyond death's reach. And there will be a time with Him when the hearts of men will no longer be ruled by anger and violence. It is a promise that when we hear the command not to covet, there will be a day when we will want for nothing because we are with Him. Beginning with the first commandment, when He says we will have no other gods than Him, He means it. There is no thing stronger than His claim on your life. That's the claim that He has made on each of you in your baptism. You are His, and no one else, no power in the universe will ever be strong enough to pull you away from Him. This is what it is to delight in the law of the Lord. God the Father sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. When Jesus Christ says that He came to fulfill the law, that is the eternal fulfillment of the promise. Jesus Christ comes to us so that we are no longer trapped following the advice of the wicked ones who seek to harm us. Jesus Christ comes to us so that when we are drawn down the path of sin, there is a promise that we can be pulled back. In our lives, we may not be able to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, but our blessed Savior does. He is the one who is always and forever living out the fullness of the divine law. And this is a gift to each of you. When we come to the Lord's table, we meet the Blessed One. We meet the Savior who we know has prospered, defeating death. And in the turbulence of life, He draws us to Himself at the table so that our lives become the fruit of His work. We can still meditate on the law. We can hear and listen to how God desires our lives to be shaped into the patterns and designs that He has for us. We can take comfort because we know that Jesus Christ is the truly blessed man who has not followed the counsel of the wicked, who has not lived the life of a sinner. He is the one who does not scoff at the law of God, but through His full obedience to the Father, He has delivered us into eternal life with Him. The law will continue to point us to Christ and the gospel promise of eternal life with Him. Because even when we cannot see the way to Him, the Lord sees a path to us. He is the one who will drive away the wickedness like chaff and will lead us on the way to the eternal congregation of the righteous. That is the promise of God's law. And that is what we can meditate on when we come to the table to receive the risen Christ. Amen.